kept on in the direction of the BBC concert orchestra. All the great classical traditions of the proms treated with utter contempt by an ill-bred Antipodean and his silly friends. 7:30, Saturday night, on BBC Radio 3.
Well, this is Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 11:30, time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. On tonight's show, concert music inspired by this. The inspirational sounds of sax giant Charlie Parker. And you can hear Parker's music reimagined later on in the show, performed by Django Bates' beloved Bird Project, recorded at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival. And keeping the festival vibe going, I'll be previewing this year's Brecon Jazz Festival and news on the Brit Jazz Festival, which is currently taking place at the legendary Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London. To set the scene, here's the man himself, Ronnie Scott, with his band in full swing on Recorder Me.
Thank you.
Ronnie Scott and his band recorded at Ronnie Scott's, and stay tuned for a preview of this year's Brit Jazz Festival in the company of Simon Cook, who's the managing director of the club. And I'm also joined by one of the visiting artists, trumpeter Matthew Housel. Plus, also to come on the show, an exclusive interview with one of the most colourful and singular personalities in the world of jazz, sax legend Pharoah Sanders.
When I get on the bandstand on stage, you know, no telling what I might try to do. So when I have it, I got it.
More from Pharoah later on in the show. Well, on a recent trip to the Algonquin Hotel in New York, I was lucky enough to hear and actually befriend the wonderful pianist Barbara Carroll, who does a regular Sunday brunch show in the famous Oak Room. The epitome of class and style, she's playing wonderfully with just a double bass accompanying her, and she also sang some beautiful renditions of standards, both rare and well-known. Here she is playing Gershwin's Fascinating Rhythm from her latest CD, recorded live at Dizzy's Club in New York, and the album's called How Long Has This Been Going On?
Thank you.
Barbara Carroll on piano, a remarkable legend of jazz, and that was Ken Poplawski on clarinet on Fine Form with fascinating rhythm. The bass player was her long-term collaborator, Jay Leonhardt, and Alvin Atkinson was playing the drums. Guitarist and blues man Billy Jenkins was a huge success at last year's London Jazz Festival with his BBC Big Bang collaboration, which we broadcast on Jazz Lineup. Taken from his new release, here's Billy playing the title track, Jazz Gives Me the Blues. Thank you. Billy Jenkins with Jazz Gives Me the Blues, with Jim Watson joining Billy on the organ, Mike Pickering playing the drums, and Finn Peters on sax. That CD is out now on the VOTP label, but Billy's taking some time off from gigging, so this recording will have to suffice for your Jenkins fix. He is currently composing music and conducting humanist ceremonies. There's a real buzz currently around vocalist Emily Saunders and her extremely polished debut CD entitled Cotton Skies. 6 out of the 10 tracks are self-penned by Emily, who has a passion for Brazilian music and the great Brazilian composers. Have a listen to this opening track where she scats alongside trumpeter Byron Wallen on Hermeto Pascoal's Ginga Carioca. Thank you. Jinga Carioca, sung by Emily Saunders from her debut CD called Cotton Skies. And you can hear Emily at Matt and Fred's Club in Manchester on the 2nd of September. And she's singing on the 6th of September at the 606 Club in Chelsea. This is Jazz Nine Up with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Well, next up, news on this year's Brit Jazz Festival at Ronnie Scott's in London, which is now in its third year. The festival started on July the 31st and it's currently in full swing and running until the 14th of August. The festival's jam-packed with British talent ranging from world-class pianists, brand-new vocal groups, virtuoso violinists and electrifying big bands. We're now in its third year, Ronnie Scott's mini-summer festival celebrating the very best of Brit Jazz is now a firm fixture on the British music calendar. Hugely oversubscribed in the first 2 years, Brit Jazz Fest 2011 is set to be another sell-out success. And one of this year's artists is trumpeter Matthew Halsall, who picked up the trumpet at just 6 years old after being taken to a jazz gig by his parents. And he's been receiving rave reviews since his debut release, Sending My Love, in 2008. DJ Giles Peterson cites Halsall as one of the UK's brightest talents, and he's played a big part in getting Matthew's music out there. His latest CD is called On The Go, and here's the track, Music For A Dancing Mind. Music for a Dancing Mind by Matthew Halsall, and that's from his CD On The Go. Well, I'm delighted that Matthew and Simon Cook, who's the managing director of Ronnie Scott's Club, are both with me in the Jazz Lineup studios. Welcome, guys.
Hello, Claire.
Hello.
So, Simon, It's the third year of this festival. What's different about this year? What are you offering?
Well, we try and make it different every year. One of the principles of the festival is that we pick artists who haven't appeared in it before. So, in essence, everything is different from previously. But what's the same, of course, is that everyone's a British artist. Mm. So we sort of choose from the whole range of available artists, ages, you know, styles, music. You know, we try and go left field occasionally. We've got some fairly trad stuff this year, actually. Probably for the first time, Chris Barber is doing a show, which is different for Ronnie's and different for the festival.
Such a diverse range, including you, Matthew. Now, your involvement, have you played at Ronnie's before?
Yeah, I've played there twice, once with Giles Peterson and Nostalgia 77 on the same bill, and it's a great venue. I love playing there.
And tell us about the project that you're bringing to the festival this year, because it's involving a jazz harp, isn't it?
Yeah. Most of my live performances have a harpist, and it's mainly because I'm really influenced by Alice and John Coltrane. So at Ronnie's this time, we decided we'd do a special tribute to both of them, and we've got a jazz harpist, we've got Luke Flowers from the Cinematic Orchestra on drums, and a great saxophone player, Nat Birchall, and some it's just a great band for that type of music. So we'll be playing quite spiritual jazz music on an impulse kind of Strata East vibe.
I always wonder what non-spiritual jazz sounds like and if I like it. I think I might do. So Simon, do you actually physically go and hear all these bands, or are these people sort of recommended to you by your team? I know you've got a hard working team at Ronnie's.
We book the club as a kind of collective, actually. Every Wednesday lunchtime, five of us gather and sort of plot the future, as it were, and discuss what's available or who we would like to come into the club and so on. So we have experts across all sort of styles of music, and all five of us kind of contribute to the selection process. So yes, a lot of the acts obviously we've seen somewhere or other or are aware of, or they bring different projects to us, and you know, because you've worked with them before, then you know sort of what you're getting.
Yeah, sure. Simon, something else that caught my eye on the programme is this wonderful lecture that you've put on with the legendary jazz photographer David Redfern. Tell me about that.
Yes, we try and do a few other things during the festival other than just putting artists on stage. And one of the things we've arranged this year is that David Redfern, who's a world-renowned photographer of all music but essentially jazz, is doing a slideshow and lecture.
Brilliant.
In the upstairs bar early evening on Wednesday the 10th. I think it's around 7 o'clock. Where he'll be showing off many of his fabulous photographs and telling the stories behind them.
That sounds terrific.
There's a great story behind a Frank Sinatra photograph that is well worth hearing. You know.
Brilliant. I love that Buddy Rich quote. David, to me, is probably the greatest jazz photographer in the world today, but he's too tall.
He is
Buddy
too
Rich.
Tall. He is too tall. We've had the ceiling raised to fit him in.
That's a wonderful addition, and I hope that night goes well. I might try and come along to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the artist that we're going to play next, Tommy Smith.
Yeah.
He's playing on the 10th of August, and he's one of the world-class artists appearing at this very special festival. He's extraordinarily versatile and prolific, and his latest quartet features Steve Hamilton on piano, Kevin Glasgow, who's making quite a name for himself, on six-string electric bass, and Alan Koska, the fiery young drummer. And this is from his new release, Karma, which is out on Spartacus Records. And here's something that really brings the band's chops to the fore. I'm sure they'll be giving it plenty of that at Ronnie's when they play it live, and this is the track Cause and Effect.
Thank you.
That was Tommy Smith powering through the track Cause and Effect, and you can hear Tommy and his quartet at Ronnie Scott's on Wednesday, August the 10th. So, Simon, when you look at a year, when you're planning a year, how much do you sort of deliberately think about UK acts having a real play in that programming?
Well, we always know we're doing the Brit Jazz, so we kind of occasionally you'll go, oh, there's an act we really want to have come, and we'll go, oh, let's put them in the Brit Jazz. So you slightly plan it in that you go, yeah, we'd really like them to be in the festival.
Right.
We try and integrate British acts as much as we can, but of course Ronnie's is an international club. You know, we bring international artists in. Ronnie and Pete always did as soon as they were able to.
Yeah.
And so we continue doing that. But we have British artists as often as we can. We have British artists as support artists, which is a rare thing in a jazz club, if you think
about
it.
Yes, I want to talk about that later on,
Not that many clubs have support artists at all. And then we do the late show, Monday to Thursday, which is all British guys getting up again, running from 11 till about 3 in the morning.
Great.
So there's quite a lot of them.
Yeah. Matthew, as Ronnie Scott's always been the sort of... it was a dream come true. It was on the list of things I had to do. Hopefully before I sort of hit my 20s, to play at Ronnie's, to sing at Ronnie's is huge. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely. It's world famous and doesn't get any bigger in the UK, I don't think, as a jazz club. So.
Tell me about one of the most inspirational acts you've seen there that's really sort of been a part in your career.
I think Pharoah Sanders is definitely my favourite person I've seen there. So he's one of my heroes of all time as well.
Yeah, he was in the other week.
We've got a little interview with him coming up, actually. Yeah.
Fantastic. Lovely bloke as well. Lovely bloke.
So I'm just going back to something I've wanted to ask you for a while, and we just touched on it there. The old club used to have a support band which played for perhaps a week or a fortnight supporting the headline acts. And it's not really the case as such now, because you have one support band that sort of remains the same. A lot of jazz musicians mourn that chance of actually playing opposite their heroes and having that chance to play at Ronnie's for a full week and inadvertently getting reviewed, perhaps because a reviewer's come in to do the main act and then they get a mention. Do you think that you'd ever go back to that old format? And can you see why that's kind of like a stepping stone that's no longer available to jazz musicians?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think it's a byproduct of the booking policy of what you want to call the headline act has changed, where in the old days Pete and Ronnie booked a band for a week or 2 weeks, and in some cases three.
Yes.
You know, and therefore you knew what the setup of the band was and you knew what type of music you got. So where, say, Cedar Walton might have been the headliner, then Pete would book a vocalist in support, and it would be the same vocalist all week long. You remember all that. Now we don't book on that artist for a week basis. We book an artist for maybe only one night if we want them in the club, but we feel that they're only really going to sell enough tickets to do one night. Then, you know, so the support policy sometimes has to reflect what the headline act is.
Right.
Yeah. So I see your point that you'll say, well, we have the sort of the house trio, as you like, but that isn't always the same guys. It's an awful lot of different musicians get to play. And we do bring in certain support artists. You know, it isn't always this sort of all-stars thing that we do. There's also another factor is that the club opens at different hours than it used to. So it's a kind of different...
Oh, yes, and I'm very thankful for that. That 1 o'clock set used to be...
Exactly, yeah. You know, I mean, the club didn't used to open till 20 to 9 at night. You know, that was doors open, not anybody on stage. We open a lot earlier now. So the whole sort of structure of it has changed. That has impacted on that side of it.
Well, let's talk about the week ahead now. What are the highlights for you? Are there so many new things? I mean, I'm quite looking forward to seeing Blink, the new vocal harmony group.
Yes.
With some heavyweight singers there. But what else can you flag up for us?
Well, tomorrow, of course, Matthew's on. And I just want to say how when we did this Giles Peterson curated weekend about 18 months ago, Matthew stole the show. There was all sorts of artists on, and Mercury Winner was on, and everybody, and all anybody talked about afterwards was Matthew ripping it up over the weekend. So really looking forward to that tomorrow night. That's Monday the 8th. Later in the week, Gwyneth Herbert's playing, who's always a favourite. We love having Gwyneth in the club.
Yeah. Terrific. What a star she is.
Matthew Herbert's big band, Saturday the 13th. It's going to be pretty riotous. And then we finish off with Natalie Williams with her guest Roachford, which I'm reliably informed has virtually sold out already.
Roachford's a
fantastic...
He's a bit of a soul star, isn't
he?
Yeah,
he is a bit. So.
And Natalie, really, I mean, she's such a tour de force for your club, isn't she? I mean, she really has a strong presence, and rightly so, because she's a terrific singer, great songwriter, and a dear friend. And I think she really adds a bit of glamour.
She does.
To your lot.
She does, yeah. Well, quite jazz musicians can occasionally like glamour, can't they? So we need the Claires and Natalies to give us that.
Well, thanks very much. Well, on Thursday, August the 11th, the Britfest is home for one night Brit superstar pianist Gwilym Simcock, who has been nominated for this year's Mercury Music Prize, alongside heavyweights like Adele, Elbow and PJ Harvey. So here's a track from the CD that's up for the prize, and it's called Good Days at Schloss Elmau. And our thanks to Simon Cook and Matthew Housel. So here's the track, These Are the Good Days. That was These Are the Good Days, with the ACT label adding Gwilym Simcock to their roster of international piano soloists. And that CD, Good Days at Schloss Elmau, is up for this year's Mercury Music Prize. And incidentally, Gwilym was the first Radio 3 New Generation jazz artist. And we wish him all the very best from all of us here on Jazz Lineup and indeed at Radio 3. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on DAB digital radio. Our concert set tonight is by one of the most inventive, exciting and individual pianists the UK has ever produced. The boundary-pushing talents of Django Bates are in full flight as he reimagines the music of Charlie Parker and gives it his own inimitable spin. All of this took place at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival, which is legendary for its admirable instinct for quality. And this year saw a fantastic and eclectic programme of music, which was thoroughly enjoyed by enthusiastic audiences. Among the big guns was the sax giant Pharoah Sanders, who headlined. And we have an exclusive interview with him, and we've included some clips from that interview on this week's show. Well, the atmosphere at Cheltenham is always vibrant, and there's a variety of indoor and outdoor events catering for all jazz tastes. Jazz Lineup caught up with Django and he told us his memories of Cheltenham Jazz Festival.
Driving up here yesterday, I realised that I haven't been here for about 7 years, I think, which is a surprise because I'm always aware of the festival and I know who's playing there and I kind of feel like I'm part of it. It's a celebration of jazz, but it's also quite clearly a celebration of British jazz. And to be here is a nice reminder of the reality of being in a room with John Taylor and Kit Downs. You know, one's on stage, one's in the audience, one's at the bar. You know, we're all hanging out together, all these generations, all these different styles, and talking about the music and sharing the experience. It's great.
Well, Django Bates is a highly collaborative musician involved in a host of projects. Here he paints the journey of his beloved bird project, where he pays tribute to the music of Charlie Parker.
In 2005, I started working in Copenhagen, teaching at the Rhythmic Music Conservatory. And it was just kind of automatic to use a lot more acoustic piano because I'd walk into a different room each time to give a lesson. There'd be a piano there. And I was just reminded what a fantastic physical instrument it is and how much of a joy it is to play the piano. And many years ago, well, back to the Loose Tubes days, I consciously turned away from piano in order to try and carve out my own sound and my own space in the music. I was surrounded by people like John Taylor and Stan Tracy already having themselves established as the sound of jazz piano. And so, yeah, to be reminded in 2005 about my original instrument was exciting. And then I just saw a class being led by a drummer, Peter Bruhn, and on bass was Petter Eld. And I saw those two and I thought, yeah, if I ever did have a piano trio, which I'm never going to have, I would get those guys. That could be really amazing. Because something about the sense of dynamic and the high energy but not at a loud volume, I could see how that would work with piano. And then I got asked to perform a celebration of the life of Charlie Parker. And it just kind of made sense. Right, this is the time to use my memory of lots of Charlie Parker music, arrange it for piano trio and do something really unexpected with this.
And so to highlights of today's concert set, opening with Charlie Parker's Moose the Mooch. This is Django Bates' beloved bird project, recorded at the Pillar Room on the 1st of May at this year's Cheltenham Festival. So in front of a packed house, Django Bates takes to the piano, Petter Eld is on bass and Peter Bruhn is playing the drums.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Last piece from Beloved is Scrapple from the Apple. Here we go.
Charlie Parker's Scrapple from the Apple, and before that you heard Alu Cha and then Moose the Mooch, Django Bates's beloved bird project, recorded at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival. And while Jazz Lineup were at the festival, we were lucky enough to get an exclusive interview with the headliner, sax legend Pharoah Sanders. Here he talks about his special relationship with one of his key collaborators, master saxophonist John Coltrane.
We never talked too much when we was working together. But, during the time when I wasn't working, and he would call me, and we'd start talking about different things, you know. And nothing about music too much. Well, at the time, he was trying to lose some weight and trying to change his whole diet. So I think he sort of came like a vegetarian, you know. And he used to meditate a lot. He meditated all the time. And, I do know that. When I'm around him, I never can find anything to say to it. Quiet. I'm trying to learn. So I never did bother him about anything about music, anything about the elements of things that are in that kind of content, you know. So I kind of left that alone.
Pharoah also spoke of his special memories of working with John's wife, the harpist Alice Coltrane, on the seminal album Journey to Satyadananda, which has found a new generation of fans, including our guest from earlier on in the show, Matthew Housel, who will be playing his tribute to that music at the Brit Jazz Festival. Well, here's Pharoah talking now about his working relationship with Alice Coltrane during that highly creative period.
At the time, I think Alice was trying to do some things herself, a band, you know, and at the time, I think she had asked me, and I had told her that I'm getting ready myself to get some musicians together, and so we kind of left it at that, you know, but we did some dates together, you know, and, but, you know, Alice, she kind of knew what she wanted to do, you know, and it was just an honor to, you know, to work with her, you know, I enjoyed it.
And many thanks to Pharoah Sanders, who gave us that exclusive interview for Jazz Lineup at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on DAB, digital radio. The 28th Brecon Jazz Festival is coming up very soon on our jazz calendars, with 50 concerts over 3 days, set in a beautiful town with stunning Welsh countryside. Before I talk to the artistic director Sarah Dennehy and one of this year's artists, Ben Lambdin, let's hear a track from Ben and Nostalgia 77 from their recent release, The Sleepwalking Society. This is When Love is Strange.
Thank you.
Nostalgia 77 with When Love is Strange, and I'm joined by the artistic director of Brecon, Sarah Dennehy, and that musician you just heard, Ben Lambden. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Claire.
What do you think, Sarah, sets it apart from the previous years you've been working on?
We try and have a broad range of jazz from around the world with different styles and sounds. For the last 2 years, we've introduced a festival site. Previously, it was just in different venues around the town, but now we have a festival site. So it has a far more festival feel, so people can walk on, there's, you know, bars and stalls, so if people actually not in the venues listening to the music, they can sit on the lawns and just hear it from outside. So I think it has a real lovely feel and atmosphere to it.
Because quite a little bit of beer gets drunk as well at that Brecon Festival, doesn't it? I've noticed.
It is known for its beer drinking, yes. The town likes to celebrate Brecon jazz. So yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a fringe that runs at the same time. So I think that's going on in the town. So it's very lively, very buzzy.
So Ben, let's talk about your involvement this year. Have you played there before? Or in fact, have you even been as a punter?
Well, we played at the festival last year. We did a set with a singer called Jeb Loy Nichols. We're taking a different singer this year, a German singer called Josse Peit. And we had a great gig last year.
Great. She's the singer that's on your latest album.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So how would you describe what you're taking to Brecon this year with this new singer? What is it? Because you use such a broad range of music.
Basically, the set is kind of half songs that we've recorded with Josse, which are partly jazzy, partly soul-y. And then in between the songs, we kind of indulge some of the instrumentalists who are with us. Got a great sax player called James Allsop and a trumpeter called Fulvio Segerta, piano player called Ross Stanley. Just kind of stretch out and kind of try and give a little yin to the yang of Josse's singing.
Are you hoping that the crowd will be up and dancing to your set? Is it that kind of, or is it a sit-down, arms crossed, pint on lap job?
Sometimes people get up. Sometimes they sit down. I think people just have to kind of
feel it,
see what happens, and, you know, we'll probably respond in kind.
So. So if you would you set up this next track for us? It's someone that's going to be appearing at the festival and a singer that I've never heard of before, so I'm keen to hear more about Sara Mitra.
This is a tune called Jilted Woman Blues. It's one of Sarah's originals from an album I worked on with her last year. She's got English and Indian heritage, but she grew up in Cambridge. She now lives in London. And I think this is typical of one of her songs. It's a very personal story, lots of range of emotion. So, I think this is an excellent example of what she gives you when you see her live.
So sweet and kind. sweet and kind and true. All of the pretty little things I can never ever be for you.
Sarah Mitra and Jilted Woman. And Sarah's playing at Brecon on what day, Sarah?
So that's Saturday the 13th, and she'll be playing in the afternoon.
Great.
At the Christ College site.
So how do you go about choosing your international acts for Brecon?
We just look who's touring at the time, really. Obviously, money is very restricted on jazz festivals, sponsorship's hard. So our budgets are always tight, and we try to work, you know, as best as we can within our budget. Mm. So we look at who's coming over to Europe, not yes. necessarily the UK. And also people who actually have something to promote as well. So we try not to go too much with artists which haven't released anything for a number of years. Yeah. So
all of that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's
absolutely.
What every festival does. I mean,
it and then it just keeps it kind of, you know, fresh and, you know, because Brecon has a long history and a lot of big names in jazz have played the festival over the year.
Well, I'm really glad when I look through the programme that you haven't put a big sort of pop name on the bill, which some festivals do to draw the crowds in and to sort of level the books up, I guess. Is that intentional? Is that something you don't have to do at the festival?
I don't particularly want to do that, yeah. I don't think we need to do it either, really. So I'd rather keep it...
As a proper jazz festival.
Yeah, but you know, crossover jazz as well. So, but always with a sort of, you know, jazz influence in the music.
And so what sort of turnout are you expecting? And does the weather play a big part with Brecon? I mean,
it does, it does. I think a lot of people go to Brecon and get into it and then buy tickets over the weekends. So if it's sunny and people are relaxing on the lawn, then the ticket sales do increase quite considerably.
So Ben, you're there. I'm sure you've had a glance at this wonderful programme. Tell me what your highlights are as you flick through.
Well, there's a band that I've seen in London before called Fringe Magnetic, which is a kind of all-starry kind of cast of some of the young jazz musicians in London, and some very interesting material by the band leader, a guy called Rory Simmons. I'd recommend that. Obviously, you mentioned Alice Russell.
She's as good
as they come, really, for a soul singer
absolutely.
In this country.
I love the idea of Courtney Pine and Zoe Rahman together. I think that's going to be a terrific double bill. And the vibe is Pascal Schumacher, who we're going to play a track of. I mean, he's phenomenal.
He is, so, absolutely. I mean,
and another lovely thing that caught my eye was also John Sermon and the Spaces in Between. I think that's going to be absolutely lovely.
With a string quartet.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
How different is that? It'd be something I'd go and see. It's sold out, actually. Can't come to that. Sorry about that. So set up the next track for us, please, Sarah.
So the next track's by one of the festival headliners, Alan Toussaint, and it's a track from the Bright Mississippi album, which is an amazing album. I think I just close my eyes and I can imagine myself on the streets of New Orleans. It's just so fantastic, so upbeat. And it should be a fantastic show.
When is his show?
Oh, his show is Saturday at the Big Tent at Christ College, so Saturday evening.
Well, let's hear Alan Toussaint, and thank you both very much. Just hope it's sunny, because it can make such a difference.
Absolutely.
And have a great week. Have a great gig, Ben.
Thank you.
And well done on such a fantastically programmed festival, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Here's Alan Toussaint and St. James's Infirmary. St. James Infirmary, played by Alain Toussaint, and he is playing on the 13th of August at the Brecon Festival, which runs from the 12th to the 14th. And thanks very much to Sarah and also to Ben for coming in. And if you'd like to find out more about the Brecon Jazz Festival, go to the Jazz Lineup website and look for more details. Well, that's nearly it for Jazz Lineup this week. Next week, our concert music is from Ethiopian jazz legend Mulatu Astatke, recorded at this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. And there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. And this week, Jez presents another chance to hear Atomic and the Vandermark 5 in performance at the Vortex Jazz Club in London, recorded last September. Composer and vibist Pascal Schumacher last brought his quartet to London for the opening night of the 2010 London Jazz Festival. His second release with this outfit on the Enya label is called Bang My Can, and that's the title we leave you with today. Don't forget, Pascal is playing the Brecon Jazz Festival on Friday, the 12th of August. Until next time, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. To set us off tonight, a recent concert with the Bergen Philharmonic conducted by Nikolai Tznaider. One of Tchaikovsky's many musical encounters with fate closes the concert, his Fourth Symphony, before its baritone Roman Trekel joins the players for Mahler's songs about an ill-fated love affair, Lieder eines fahrenden Gesellen. And to open the concert, Richard Strauss changing the fate of Till Eulenspiegel. Till really existed. He was a 14th century practical joker from Brunswick who eventually died of the Black Death. So Strauss's end from here, a trial and hanging for all the havoc he'd caused, is fiction. But the pranks are based on real anecdotes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Richard Strauss's Tilleulenspiegel, the Bergen Philharmonic, conducted by Nikolai Znaider. Baritone Roman Trekel joins them now for Mahler, the Lieder eines fahrenden Gesellen. Mahler, in his 20s here, the song's a response to a perhaps predictably unhappy love affair, with the words telling of a young man heartbroken when his beloved marries another and setting out on a journey, but the beauty of nature is unable to erase thoughts of his lost love.
Hochzeit mein, to me.